We're talking about pastoral ministry when people are experiencing acute things like being sick in the hospital or being shut in for long term. What is it that we need when we visit people so that we can be effective shepherds on an individual level? The first thing we need is patience. And I'm not talking about the kind of being patient when you're in a hospital, but being patient as the shepherd. Keep in mind, love is patience, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. We should not rush to declare the solution to the spiritual need. Remember Job's advisor. This is the last thing I want is for someone to say to me, you're just nothing but a Job's advisor. Having said that, we do need to be able to give a word in season, as it were. Great burdens can be lifted from our shoulder when we realize that giving a word in season doesn't mean giving a sermon or to be a professional counselor. Our role is simply to help sick people find the Lord in their situation. With that in mind, I always pray just before a visit, I pray for humility, for sensitivity, and for wisdom. These are basic for being a channel of God's comfort. Let's talk about wisdom for a moment. The Lord has promised that Christian wisdom is there for various trials if we patiently trust in Him. James chapter 1 and verse 5 to 8 makes that very clear. And also we know from Scripture that wisdom may be understanding the purpose for suffering, that's the why question, or wisdom may be there for handling the trials of suffering, that's the how question. And even if the first question doesn't get answered, the second question of how we're to live in the midst of this trial is still very essential. The conscientious elder will study the biblical theme of suffering to determine both of those questions. The reason why God allows suffering and the way God wants us to live during suffering and to respond biblically. Some key passages to consider for that first question, why does God allow suffering? There's many of them in scriptures, but here the ones that I find very helpful are, for example, in the book of Job, that we learn to trust and be patient through suffering. That's one purpose of suffering that God gives us, so that we would learn to trust Him and to be patient. For example, Job chapter 13 verse 15 says, Job says, though He slay me, I will hope in Him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before Him. Job was expressing trust even in the midst of his arguing because he knew where to take his concerns to. And he knew that even if the worst happens, that God were to slay him, he's still going to trust. He learned that in the midst of suffering. And then in verse 5 and verse 7, he says, a man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. Sometimes the wisdom that we learn about suffering is that we all suffer, and that's part of life. And the purpose of suffering is just we live in a fallen world. But we also discover in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 to 4, this is a classic passage on suffering, that God gives or allows us to suffer so that we in turn could help others who are going through suffering. So Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that, you see their purpose in the sufferings, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. To summarize, sometimes God brings suffering into our lives so that we can be a help to others who suffer. Now, another purpose for suffering is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 to 9. And if you want to understand God's purposes, these are great passages to study. For example, Paul says in verse 7, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. So Paul says, I was given suffering in order to keep me from exalting myself. That's a purpose in suffering. In a sense, God might give us suffering to keep us from getting too big for our britches, we might say. But he goes on to say that there's also another purpose in suffering so that we could understand the power of God. He says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ might dwell in me. So here's another purpose in suffering, that the power of Christ might be evident in me, that we would learn that God's grace is sufficient even in the midst of suffering. In other words, some things we may not learn apart from suffering. And that's why Paul says in another place in Philippians, he says that I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, but notice what comes next, that I might also know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, because Paul's not being a masochist, but he wanted to know Christ, and he wanted to learn those things about Christ that could only be learned in suffering. Now, Paul also says, or I should say the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 6, he says, for those whom the Lord loves, he disciples, and he scourges every son whom he received. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there for whom the father does not discipline? So the child of faith, when he goes through suffering, it may be that God is disciplining him to help him walk more in the way of Christ. In the book of Hebrews also, it says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, referring to Christ, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. So if Christ had a purpose in suffering to learn obedience, and we could spend a lot of time talking about what that means, it makes sense that we also may find a purpose in suffering so that we would learn to obey God, maybe in areas that we might not otherwise be obeying him. And then in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, Paul says, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering has a way of giving us the opportunity to suffer for Christ, where we take our problem and don't just leave it as, this is my struggle, this is a difficulty for me, but we see it as an opportunity to suffer for Christ, to transform it and say, I am going to endure this suffering for Christ's sake, so that he might be glorified. Now, there's a lot of other verses that we could share about, and we have that in our detailed outlines, and I would encourage you to consider those and look at them. But knowing all this scripture about the reason for suffering, doesn't mean we give a theology lesson when we visit somebody in the hospital or somebody who's sick. The last thing we want to do, as I said earlier, is to be Job's counselors. Job's counselors said a lot of good things, but they said them inappropriately at the wrong time with this wrong motivation. Understanding the reasons helps us determine and discern under the guidance of the Holy Spirit how we might respond with sensitivity. It's not up for us to determine which of these purposes God is intending for that suffering. Remember, we may likely not know what God is doing through suffering, so we shouldn't presume to know. God's perfectly capable of showing his child what he wants to. Often, he simply wants us to trust him in the midst of our difficulty. So as shepherds, as elders, how can we, besides bringing them understanding, how can we help them to be comforted? Because when we're in the midst of difficulties, it's one thing to know with our mind, but it's another thing to be for our heart to be comforted by God. One thing is certain, no matter what they're going through, God loves them and he cares for them as an individual, and they need to be affirmed in that love and care. And there's an abundance of scripture that you can share. Psalm 23, of course, is the classic. It's heard so many times, it's easy to avoid that for sounding trite. But Psalm 23 is popular and well known precisely because it does bring a lot of comfort. So don't forget that one. But you'll also want to develop a list of other verses that you know can bring comfort. I list in the back of my Bible, you know, in those blank pages in the back, I fill that with verses that I know that are tried and true for bringing comfort to people. For example, I make a little reference to Psalm 42 and Psalm 61. As a matter of fact, now that I've gotten a little more digitally astute, I carry a smartphone, and on there I keep a list of verses. I want to remember them so that when I go in to visit a person, I'll just refresh my mind on these are some great passages that can bring comfort. Psalm 61 is another one. There's many. Make your own list. As you're studying through the scripture in your personal devotional time, as you come through to scriptures, passages that you know are passages of comfort, make a list of those so you have those ready. Now, when we visit people, you know, we might share a few verses about God's love and care, but subsequently we might become more discerning in time. As people know that we've come to share and to care for them and to bring them comfort, they may be more willing to help us discern an understanding of God's work in their life. But we've built and we've opened the door for that by showing that we care. Often a person himself will be unaware of what God's doing before they're aware that God cares for them. So a good question you might ask is, where have you seen God in your suffering? Or you might ask, how has God spoken to you through this? If they ask the question of, why is God doing this to me? You might say, I'm not sure. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy 29:29 is one of my favorite verses for sharing with people. It says this, "The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that have been revealed to us are for us and for our children." And so we share with people that sometimes God just doesn't tell us why. We simply need to accept and to obey Him in the midst of his difficulties. You see, it's so easy. I don't know about you, but when I'm going through suffering, I want to give myself a free pass. I want to be able to say things and to do things and to think things and think that I'm justified because of my suffering. Spiritual care is to help people get back on track, even in the midst of their difficulty. A person might simply need to know that God cares for him or her, and he's caring through you. And that might just be enough. Your care and concern might be enough to provoke them, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, unto love and good deeds. Even in their sickness, they can still be a servant to others through various means like praying for people, encouraging them. When a person's sick, they can still have the strength to write off an email to somebody, to speak words of grace to people in their difficulty. I've known people who are in the midst of their own struggle that have sent a word of encouragement to somebody else who's experiencing the same thing. What grace, what power, God at work in their lives. Now, I want to just can't go farther without saying there's good resources out there. There's the Stephen Ministries that can help you develop your ability to visit people. Some denominations have great resources. For example, the Lutheran Church seems to have some tremendous resources for pastoral visitation. There's excellent booklets that you can provide for people. There's been times where I'll come across one and I'll order a whole stack of them and I'll have them ready when I go to visit people because I know there are words of encouragement in there. Be sensitive, though, when you give anything to anybody. They might have just received 10 special books, so you might want to ask them, has anybody been giving you anything to read? How often should you visit? Well, there's lots of practical questions, but I would suggest at least once a week if somebody's in acute difficulty. It's easy to think I've visited them once, and that'll carry through for a month. How often? Well, it depends. What time? It depends. If you're in hospital, stay during visiting hours. Avoid mornings when there's lots of medical things and tests and labs going on. If you can, visit during the week because a lot of people do their visitation on the weekend. If you're visiting somebody in the home, call them ahead of time. Keep your visit short, 15 to 20 minutes, maybe all, might even be less than that. On our website, we have an article called The Etiquette Do's and don'ts when doing hospital visitation. You'll find that's helpful even when doing visitation in the home. This gives much more advice on how you can be effective in your pastoral ministry. If there's ever a time when Christians look to their elders for spiritual care, this is it, when they're sick. If done wisely and sensitively and spiritually, visiting the sick can provide tremendous spiritual encouragement and benefit to God's people.